Those that weren't here last week, the topic that we're in the middle of a chapter on the Likutei Moran, and each chapter here deals with a few selected topics. The chapter that we're in the middle of is called Tikkun Teichacha, and the focal point of this whole chapter is the topic of giving Teichacha to a Jew, giving reprimand to a Jew. We find that this is one of the Taryag Mitzvahs in the Torah. The Pasuk says, Hoicheach Teichiach Es Amisecha V'loisis Olav Chait, that there's an obligation on each and every Jew. If a Jew sees somebody else doing something wrong and he's in a position to correct it, he's responsible not to make believe he doesn't see, but on the contrary, to say something about it and to try to speak to the other person in a constructive way, to be able to help them to correct themselves, to become more religious, to serve Hashem, to do the mitzvah, whatever it is. At the same time, there's a Gemara that says that Rabbi Akiva once said that he wonders if in his generation, which is again one of the most colorful generations in Jewish history, when you had the biggest tzaddikim, the Tanoim, the rabbis of the Gemara, he said he wonders if in his generation there's anybody who's worthy of giving teichacha. So we see that this is a very, very sensitive item. On one hand, it's a big mitzvah, and on the other hand, the person sometimes could do more damage. It's not as if you can just not accomplish. Sometimes you go after a person and trying to get him to improve, and because this person isn't receptive to what you're saying, not only won't he accept what you're saying, but you'll push him away further. And Rabbeinu Zal gives Misholem different things to explain this. So therefore, Rabbeinu Zal got into a whole discussion in talking about what the beauty is of a person who does know how to give this teichacha the right way. From that, Rabbeinu Zal went on to discussing the topic of geirim, converts, and the whole concept of being able to bring them close to Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal spoke about the concept of thunder, how thunder is compared to this concept of geirim coming close. This is what we spoke about last week and 2 weeks ago. And the last two topics that we would discuss was the topic of nevuah, prophecy, how Rabbeinu Zal said, how prophecy comes, how whenever people come close to Hashem, people who are very distant, this brings about a hizgalus hakovoid, a tremendous revelation of the kovoid of Hashem. There's a pasuk that says, Havul Hashem mishpachay samim, Havul Hashem kovoid voiz. Come to Hashem, nations of the world, families of the nations of the world, Havul Hashem kavod voiz, and bring to Hashem glory. Because the Gemara says that there's no greater glory to Hashem than when you have converts, ones who are very, very distant from Hashem. When they come to recognize Hashem, that brings about a spectacular hizgalus hakavod. Just as the Zohar HaKadosh Gizdi case tells us about the case of Yisroi, who was the Pope of Midian, who was one of the furthest people in the history of the world from Hashem. The Torah testifies that there wasn't a single idol that he hadn't worshipped. And the Gemara, the Zohar HaKadosh says that when Yisroi came along and said, Ato Yodati ki Godol Hashem mikol ha'elokim, that I recognize that Hashem, the Hashem of the Jews, is the true Hashem, and he's more powerful than anything I've believed until now, the Zohar HaKadosh says that this brought about a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, a tremendous heightening of the Kavod of Hashem, and that's what triggered off Matan Torah. It was right after Yisroi said these words that we find Hashem saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, prepare the Jews, I'm ready to come down to the world to give the Jews the Torah. So we see that when ones who are distant from Hashem become Niskarev, this brings about a tremendous Hizgalus of the Kavod of Hashem. Rabbeinu Zal says that another word for that is Nevuah, prophecy. Because we know that prophecy means where Hashem speaks to a person. That's called prophecy, where a person gets to hear Hashem speaking to him privately. This act of Hashem speaking to Bnei Yisrael on Har Sinai, the wording in the pasuk is ponim beponim diber Hashem imochem. The pasuk says ponim beponim diber Hashem imochem, that the act of Hashem giving the Torah to Bnei Israel on Har Sinai, that was also a form of prophecy, or a form of nevuah, because nevuah is miloshen niv sfosayim, to speak, that Hashem spoke to the Jews. So we see that when there is this hizgalus hakavod, it's also manifested in a revelation of prophecy. And Rabbeinu Zal said this is a concept in the fact that the Gemara says that ein hanevuah shayra elo al chacham gibar voshir, that the Gemara says that the nature of prophecy is that it only comes to one who is either exceptionally smart was strong or wealthy, Rabbeinu Zal says the reason why the Gemara picks these three types of individuals, because these three are associated with kavod. The pasuk says about an oshir, a wealthy person, as kavod oshroi v'esroi bonov. Kavod oshroi, that it says by Haman it says the honor of his wealth. A wealthy person, wealth is respected. So we see that kavod is a concept of ashirus. Chachma, we know there's a pasuk that says kavod chachamim yinchalu, that chachamim, those who are smart, are worthy of kavod. Again, and the pasuk says about a gibor. The pasuk says about Hashem, hovula. The pasuk says Hashem izuz v'gibor, that Hashem is izuz v'gibor, and right before that it says mi ze melech hakovoid, Hashem izuz v'gibor. So we see that gevura is also related to kovoid. So therefore, because prophecy is a revelation of the kovoid of Hashem, it's geared specifically towards those people who have this exceptional kovoid, in the fact that Hashem has made them special in giving them special wealth or special strength or special intellect. This is what gives them the power to be more susceptible towards nevuah, towards prophecy, than anybody else. Then Rabbeinu Zal showed how all of these concepts that we spoke about till now are related to the topic of refuah, cure. And this was pretty much the topic of last week's shiur. We're not going to go into the whole thing in full detail again, but we showed through different psukim how all of these things, the concept of tefillah, korbanos, all of those items tie into the topic of tefillah. And Rabbeinu Zal mentioned specifically that whenever there is added on a new neighbor to the Jewish community, let's say there's a kibbutz, a group of people at Tzibur davening, and one person gets added on to the minyan, Rabbeinu Zal says that doesn't just increase it by one person, that multiplies the effect of the tefillah. Just as the Gemara says in Brachos, that any person who lives in a city where there's a shul and he doesn't visit the shul, he's called Shochein Ra, Chas V'Shalom. Hashem calls him a bad neighbor. Chas V'Shalom, Hashem refers to such a person as a bad neighbor. The opposite holds true, that Hashem says that those people who are zeicha to make themselves into neighbors to a shul, in coming to daven, in coming to shirim, those kind of things, the pasuk says, Ubal yomer shochein cholisi, that no neighbor of the Jews ever said he was sick, meaning that this act of joining the tzibur, joining oneself to the tzibur in doing a mitzvah, that serves as a guarantee, as a protection from sickness, chas v'shalom. And this is pretty much where we had left off last week. We're up to, in our Likutei Morans, it's page 38, the left-hand column, way towards about five lines up from the bottom of the page, where there's a parenthesis, an open parenthesis. Rabbeinu Zal said there that generally the pasuk says of Al Yomer Shochein Cholisi, that one who makes himself a neighbor to the Jewish people, that alone serves as a protection from sickness. Ki ha'om hayoshev bo nesu yavoin, because the pasuk says, because the nation that resides in Eretz Yisrael, they are forgiven, they are free from sin. So one who joins them frees himself from sin, his sins are erased, and we know the Gemara says, Ein Yisurin B'Layavayin, that generally when a person gets sick, it's a sign of sin. So therefore, if joining a tzibur serves to forgive one's sins, automatically that'll serve to remove any sickness from the person. That alone serves as a protection from sickness. Rabbeinu Zal says now, V'dai, you should know, however, Shelefa'omim hu bechinas nesu yavoin al yidei ha-kibbutz kanal. At times, what results from a gathering of Jewish people, when a group of Jews get together for a mitzvah, for Torah, for tefillah, for any type of mitzvah, at times, what takes place is it generates a forgiveness of sins for all those that are present. Ulefa'omim hu chas v'shalom b'chinas ochein cholyenu hu nisa. At times, what happens is, if there is a tzaddik among them, if within this tzibur there is a tzaddik, and the tzibur is not pure enough, they're not worthy enough, what happens is the tzibur's sins, we said that there's a rule that when a tzibur gets together to do a mitzvah, the sins are forgiven. If the sins are forgiven, it brings about a cure to any illness. There are times when it'll affect a cure for all of them except one, except the tzaddik, about whom the pasuk says, "Ochein cholyenu hu nasa," that the tzaddik, there are times when tzaddikim are forced to accept upon themselves suffering on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So at times, when this kibbutz of Jews, a community of Jews, gets together to do a mitzvah, what happens is all of them have their sins forgiven and their illnesses are removed, but one of them, Rachmana Litzlan, his illness is not removed. On the contrary, because of the fact that the people aren't worthy enough to have all their sins forgiven for free, in a sense, he's forced to assume the responsibility of accepting upon himself illness, suffering, on behalf of the people. Because the Gemara says in Brachas that there's nothing that's mamarek avoinos, there's nothing that rubs out sins as well as Yisurim, suffering. So at times, if we see Tzadikim suffering, generally the reason for this is to be able to remove, to eradicate the sins of the whole Tzibur, of the whole Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Nizal explains, Ki kishein b'nei ha-kibbutz zakoim, because when the people in the kibbutz, in the group, are not worthy enough, azai ein zeichem lebechinas nesuyovim, then they're not zeiche to this level of complete forgiveness of sins. V'oz, and then, the tzaddik is compelled to accept upon himself suffering on behalf of the Jews. And the only ones that are saved from illness are the other people. But not the tzaddik himself. Because the nature of tzaddikim is that they are willing to assume this responsibility. Their avas Yisrael is to such an extent that they're willing to accept upon themselves suffering to protect Bnei Yisrael, just as Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Jews were being threatened, when the Jews worshipped the golden calf, and Hashem said, step aside and let me destroy them. Moshe Rabbeinu said, step aside? You mean it's in my power to block it? You want to destroy? I'm first. In other words, whenever a tzaddik is given a choice of himself or the people, he's always willing to give of himself first, to accept the suffering upon himself first. But when the kibbutz is pure, when the people are good, utfilasam haguna, and their tefillah is proper, it's as good as it should be, azai hu bechinas ha'om hayoshev b'nesuyavayim, then, just by the fact that they join together as a tzibur, they unite in tefillah, they have a minion that unites for tefillah, that alone is able to effect a forgiveness of sins. V'oz nitzel gam ha-tzadik mecholas. And then the tzaddik is also spared any illness. He's also cured from his illness. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, uval yoimer shochein cholisi ha-om ha-yoshev bo nesuyov on kanal. As the pasuk says, that a neighbor, one who makes himself a neighbor to the Jews, meaning he joins them in a mitzvah, he will never say he's sick, because ha'am ha'yeshiv v'nesuyavayin, because the people have been forgiven for their sins. So Rabbi Nizal is implying that whenever a kibbutz of Jews gets together for the sake of doing a mitzvah, specifically tefillah, which the Gemara tells us is in place of karbonos, just as karbonos, the purpose of karbonos, sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash, was to forgive for sins, so tefillah is also mechaper, it actually forgives for sins. Now, when you have a tzibur davening, it's a very powerful form of kaporas avonos, forgiveness for sins. And if sins are the most major cause for illness, then it means that by people getting together to daven in a minyan, in a tzibur, this automatically is going to affect a refuah for all of them. That's what it should be. Rabbi Nizal says, if they're worthy, that's definitely what happens, and all of them are cured. If not, at times we'll find a situation where all of them are cured, except the tzaddik. And it seems peculiar, out of all the people to be cured, he should have been the one to be cured first. The answer is, he's the one who assumes responsibility on behalf of Bnei Israel. That if there's anything needed to be done to help serve the Jews, to help effect a cure for Bnei Israel, he's the one who's willing to accept upon himself suffering to be mechaper on Bnei Israel. Just as Hashem himself says, Imoy Anoichi Betzara, that whenever the Jews are in a state of suffering, the Jews go into Golos, Hashem goes with them, Hashem sends his Shechina with them, so too the tzaddik is the one who's mishtatef b'tzaroson shel Yisrael. He joins with the tzara of the Jews. Just as the Gemara says in Tainus, for example, that whenever you have a case, chas v'shalom, where there's a famine in the world, any Jew who goes ahead and has relations with his wife at that time, chas v'shalom, is called a rasha. Why? Because if the world is suffering, there's a responsibility on a Jew to join in that suffering, not to exclude himself from the suffering of the tzibur, not to say that I'll go have my good time and ignore what's going on. The Jewish community is suffering. A person has to have an attitude of willing to join in that suffering, not to exclude himself. The ones that are outstanding in this are the tzaddikim. Those that are the tzaddikim, they're the ones who are first to assume the responsibility to join in the tzara, and if there's any way for them to shield Bnei Yisrael from suffering, that's what they do. They serve as a shield. Just as Hashem is called a Mogen, Mogen Avraham, Hashem is the shield of Avraham Avinu, he protects Bnei Yisrael, so too the Gemara says, Tzadikim Mizdamnen Leyoitzram. Tzadikim emulate Hashem, and they also try to serve as a shield to block the Jewish people from suffering, from illnesses, whenever it's possible for them. It's dependent on their purity. Very simple. In other words, how well they're doing in serving Hashem, their tefillah, their status, their level in avodas Hashem. That's definitely a factor. In other words, there's no question at all that one of the things that brings about the biggest nachas to Hashem is when there's achdus and tzibur. We mentioned many times that the Arizal says, you have the sentence, Shavoseinu kabel ushma tzakoseinu yodea talumais. Hashem, please accept our call. You who know all the hidden things, the hidden thoughts in our heart and everything, please accept our tefillah. Shavoseinu kabel ushma tzakoseinu yodea talumais. The Arizal says that the first letters of that pasuk, Shin Kuf Vav Tzadik Yud Tov, are exactly bigimatria the pasuk V'yohavto L'Reacha Kamecha Ani Hashem. That the secret of having one's tefillah is accepted by Hashem, there's no question at all that the main key is this achdus. So certainly that is a factor. This is why the Arizal said that whenever a person goes to daven, Shachris, Mincha, Maariv, anything like that, before he starts davening, the first thing he should do is say, Hareini Mekabel Olai Mitzvah Seseh Shel V'yohavto L'Reacha Kamecha. Because that sort of seals his tefillah, that ensures that his tefillah will be accepted by Hashem. If the tefillah will definitely be accepted, then the people will be found to be zakai, no question. That alone is a form of being zakai, one whose tefillah is accepted by Hashem. But that's one factor. There are other factors. I'm saying stam in frumkeit, what kind of level the people are on in frumkeit.
And would you say that everything's always hinting to, the situation?
Most definitely. Just before I even get off that topic, for example, there's a pasuk, the Gemara quotes it in Shabbos, Meisir Oznai Mishmaya Torah, Gam Tfilosai Tayeva, that a person who turns his ear away from listening to Torah, his tefillah is rejected by Hashem Chas V'Shalom. So here again, when people come to shul in the morning to daven, a very, very major determining factor in how well their tefillah is going to be accepted by Hashem is dependent on how much of these people study Torah. Do they have a shir kavua every day in learning Torah? If they do, the Torah is what supports the tefillah. The firepower of the tefillah comes from the Torah. This is a pasuk. It's a beferish pasuk. Now, this point that he mentioned just now is the fact that we find at the time that Rabbeinu Zal was saying this Torah, Rabbeinu Zal was very, very sick. We mentioned that this shir was given the last Rosh Hashanah of Rabbeinu Zal's life. He was 38 and a half years old at the time, and he was in his third year of suffering from tuberculosis, and he was coughing up blood. That's a sickness of the lungs, tuberculosis, and he was coughing up tremendous large quantities of blood at the time. And Rabbeinu Zal's students wrote that they were obviously, when he was talking here, he was obviously referring to the situation. The fact that so many hundreds of people had come to him that Rosh Hashanah to join together, the fact that there was a kibbutz, and it was pretty much the largest kibbutz that had ever gathered in Rabbeinu Zal's life, he was making it clear to them that the gathering alone will affect a refuah for all of those present. However, what would determine whether he himself would be cured or not would be how pure the people are. If the people are zakai, then the tzaddik can also receive a cure. If the people are not zakai enough, then unfortunately the tzaddik is forced to accept, this is a pasuk in Navi, v'hu mechalel mipshayinu, that the tzaddikim suffer from our sins, not from their own sins, they didn't do anything wrong, but this is the nature, they're the leaders, they're the ones who assume responsibility. When there's a problem in the flock, they're the ones, we don't blame the sheep, we blame the shepherd. If the sheep are, if a child isn't behaving well, we don't blame the child in most cases, we blame the parent, the one who raised the child. The tzaddikim are the roye Yisrael, they're called the shepherds of Bnei Yisrael, they're the ones who assume the responsibility in every way. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, Vayidei hispashtus hanavuah, when there is a spreading of this prophecy, we explained before that when Gerim on Iskarev, this brings about a hiskalas of the kavod of Hashem, which brings about a revelation, a hispashtus of nevuah, that the power of prophecy gets spread out over the world. Just as we find before the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Gemara says that at that time the power of Nevuah was prevalent. It wasn't just limited to one or two people. There were many Nevi'im at that time. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Vayidei hispashtus hanavuah al yidei zeh nizbarer v'nistakin b'chinas koyach hamedameh." When the power of prophecy is well spread throughout the world, meaning that it's strong, it's going strong, that brings about a birur, a clarification, and a tikkun, a fixing for the koyach hamedameh. Koyach hamedameh means the power of imagination. That's one word to use for it. An imaginative power, a false type of imagination, where people make up things that aren't really true, where people think something is what it really isn't. Bibachinas, as the Pasuk says in Hosea, Ubiyad Hanavim Adame, that it's within the capacity of the Nevi'im to affect this Koyach Hamedame, this power of imagination. Because what is Nevuah? Nevuah is an imaginative power that's true, that's emes. When the Nevuah is high, it means the Koyach Hamedame, the false Koyach Hamedame, is pressed down, is eliminated. Ki ikar tikun ubirur hamedame hu kishehu biyad hanavim. The highest level of perfection of imagination is when the imagination is within the hands of the Nevi'im, the prophets. They were the ones who used this imaginative power in its purest sense. They were able to dream up things that were true. Their dreams were actual visions of Hashem communicating to them important facts. Ugishinistake in hamedame. And when this power of imagination is kitikunoi, it's proper, ayidezeh nistakein ho emuno ho amitius dikdusha. Then the true holy faith of the Jews also is nistakein v'nizbatel emunois kuzvius. And there is destroyed and nullified all the false kind of faiths, all the superstition, and all the false beliefs of the Jews are all destroyed. Rabbi Nazal explains, what's the association between prophecy and emunah, faith? Ki ikar ho emunah tluya b'koyach hamedameh. Because the whole concept of faith is dependent on an imaginative power. A person has to be able to imagine something. Why? Ki bima shehaseichel meivin ein shayach emuna. In that which a person understands, in that which a person can visualize, can actually see, to that we can't apply the term faith. He doesn't believe it. He sees it. He knows it to be a fact. The true application of the term faith is only where the seichel gets cut off, where the person doesn't understand, and he can't fully understand this item with his intellect. That's where the whole concept of faith begins. Faith begins where knowledge ends. That where once a person has reached the capacity, his full capacity of understanding, then if he wants to go further, it's dependent on belief. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Ukishenoi meivin adover b'sichloi," and when a person is not able to comprehend something with his seichel, or he's not able to visualize it actually with his eyes, because those two words are synonymous, the seichel and the eyes. The pasuk says in Bereishis, "Vatipokachno einei shnehem," that the eyes of Adam and Chava became wise. So we see that this term seichel and vision are one and the same. So Rabbeinu Zal says, now, when a person doesn't understand something with his mind, azay nishar rak bebechinas koyach hamedameh, then the most that he can have a feel for that is based on an imaginative power. He imagines that it is so. He conjures up a vision as though there were such a thing. V'shom tzrichin emuna. That's where faith comes into play. Nimtza. So what do we see from this? She'ikar ho emuna hi bechinas hamedame. That the whole concept of faith is a concept of imagination. It's dependent on imagination, on something you can't see, you can't touch, you can't fully understand, and yet you believe that there is such an item. So these two words are sort of very similar, the imaginative power and the concept of faith, because faith is dependent on being able to imagine that there exists such a being who is everywhere and who existed before the concept of time began, all of this is based on an imagination. Rabbi Nizal says, V'al kein, and therefore, al yidei hispashtus hanavuah, when there is a spreading of the power of prophecy, shayidei zeh nizbarer v'nistakein hanadameh, which means that the imaginative power is being used constructively, it's pure, it's on a good level. That automatically affects a tikkun for the holy faith of the Jewish people. When there's a spreading of nevuah in the world, there's automatically a spreading of emuna in the world. The faith becomes strengthened because they're both dependent on this kaya hamedame, this concept of imagination. Rabbi Nizal is going to bring another association now based on the Gemara. Rabbi Nizal says, Ki yesh asara madregos benevuah. The Medrash Rabba tells us in Lech Lecha by Avram Avinu, you know, the Medrash says that there exist 10 levels of nevuah, and the Medrash there explains what this is based on. V'heim keneged aseres hadibrois. These 10 levels of prophecy correspond to the 10 commandments, whereby Hashem spoke directly to Am Yisrael. Sheheim b'chinas asera madregos shel nevuah. These 10 commandments correspond to the 10 levels of prophecy. Kimo shekosuv, as the pasuk says, ponim beponim diber Hashem imochem. That at that point on Har Sinai, Hashem spoke to the Yidden face to face. Diber Hashem zu nevuah. The words diber Hashem refers to nevuah. Kamo shem razal, as the Gemara says in Shabbos, the Gemara learns out over there that the words diber Hashem refer specifically to prophecy. We find psukim throughout the Torah where that's hoya devar Hashem elai. The Novi says that on this and this day, Hashem spoke to me as follows. That's the wording that's used related to prophecy. The alkein, and therefore, al yidei nevuah, through nevuah, shehu bechinas asara madregois, which is broken out into 10 levels, bechinas aseres hadibrois, which corresponds to the 10 commandments, zeichin lo emuna b'Hashem yisborach. That's what strengthens and supports the Jew's faith in Hashem. That increases the emuna. Lahamin shehakol boro Hashem ba'asara ma'amorois. And this is what gives the Yidden emuna, true faith in Hashem. What's the most basic thing that we're required to believe in? The fact that Hashem created the world. With what? Bidvar Hashem shomayim nasu, the pasuk says. Hashem created the world with 10 statements. Asara ma'amorois. There are 10 times that we find the word vayomer mentioned in the beginning of creation. Actually 9 times. And the Gemara says the word bereshis is also maimar hu. So the Rabbi Nizal says now that through a hispashtus of nevuah, which comes in 10 levels, and it draws its power from the 10 commandments, that strengthens and supports the emunah of Bnei Israel, which is dependent on believing in the fact that Hashem created the world with these asara ma'amorais, that Hashem created the world with these 10 statements. Nimtza, what do we see from this? She'ikor tikkun ha'emunah ha'kdoisha, that the main perfection and support of the faith of the Jewish people, hi al yidei b'chinas ruach nevuah, is dependent on this ruach nevuah. This ruach nevuah, the more that there exists a prophecy in the world, a power of prophecy, the more it means that this koyach hamedame that exists in the world is kitikunai, it's being used in a constructive way, it's being used in a good way for kedusha. Automatically, this will help bring about a tikkun for the emunah of the Yidden also. This helps support the emunah of Israel, that the Yidden feel a chizuk in emunah according to how many prophets there are, according to how much the power of prophecy is prevalent in the world. This is what strengthens the koyach emunah in the world also.
Ben Israel said that the nevuah is connected to the aseres hadibros.
Right.
Is he implying that, or I don't know, is it that in the Torah itself there is this ruach nevuah?
Most definitely. He's going to explain that in 1 minute. The fact that the Gemara says that the Rabbi Nizal has a chapter in the Qutaman later, that there were words tzaddikim in the past who just by learning the Torah itself revealed asidus to them. And Rabbi Nizal quotes a pasuk in Tehillim. I don't remember offhand the pasuk right now, where the pasuk shows how the mishpotim of Hashem, the Torah of Hashem, allows a person to be able to see into the future, to actually be able to know what's going to happen in advance. Just as, for example, the Zohar HaKadosh says, "Bezois yovoi aharon al hakodesh." There's a pasuk in the Chumash that says, "With this, With this, Aharon HaKohen is permitted to enter into the Holy of Holies. Zayis referring to the Ketores, the special offering of the Ketores. The Zohar HaKadosh says the pasuk, the word Zayis is bigematria of 408. This refers to the year 5408, which is a year, the Zohar HaKadosh says, when it was very, very much misugal for Mashiach to be able to come. That was an opportune time for Mashiach to come. Because the Jews weren't worthy, Rachmona Litzlan, not only did Moshiach not come, but that was when there was the Xeras Tach V'tat, Rachmona Litzlan, where there was a tremendous catastrophe, where many Jews were killed in pogroms, Al Kiddush Hashem, because that year was a year when there had to be a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. The Kiddush Hashem could have come one of two ways. Either, if we were worthy, Moshiach would have come at that time. If not, the Kiddush Hashem had to come regardless. Either it came in a pleasant way, or else, Rachmona Litzlan, it came in a way where Jews were forced to die for their religion, and when they went ahead and did this, this brought about a tremendous heightening of the kavod of Hashem. And there are many, many other examples where the Gemara learns out from Psukim in the Torah exactly what's going to happen in the future, what's going to precede Moshiach's coming, the fact that wine is going to become very expensive, all of this asidus that we see in the Torah, no question. So the Torah itself, the Torah, which is basically on its lowest level, it's the Ten Commandments, is the mokar for the 10 levels of Nevuah. Emunah, most definitely. 100%. So Nevuah here is a form of this Chachma, this Seichel Dikdusha, that's feeding the Emunah. This Dibar Hashem Imohim. Now note, where does Nevuah come from? From Netzach and Hoy, Mibein Shnei HaKruvim. Emunah is called Malchus. So this is how the Koyach HaNevuah supports the Emunah, the Malchus, no question at all. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, now we're going to understand the importance of looking for a Rebbe. Rabbeinu Zal says, V'alkein, based on what we just said, that item which helps a person's Emunah, helps strengthens a person's faith the most, is when there is a Hispashtus HaNevuah, V'alkein tzrichen lechapes ulevakesh ma'oid achrei manhig amiti lehizkari ve'lov. Therefore, it is very, very important for each and every single Jew to search out a leader, a true leader, and bring himself close to this true manhig. Ki kol manhig o manhig yesh loy bechinas ruach nevuah. Because each and every single true leader of the Jewish people possesses a level of nevuah, a level of prophecy. Vigam achshev shebot lo hanevuah, and even nowadays, where the Gemara says beferish that the koyach hanevuah has become botel, the power of prophecy is not really prevalent. Afal pikein, still behechrach, you must admit, it must be sheyihye lahamanhig bechinas ruach acheres ma she'ein nimtza b'shar ha'amoin. Anyone who is a true leader of the Jews must possess a certain spirit that's not present in all the other people. That it's the fact that he possesses this ruach acheres, that's what made him into a leader. What made him unique, distinct from all the other people, that he was zecher to become a leader? There must be a ruach acheres inside of him. Because were it not for that, why is it that this person happens to be a leader and not another individual? The fact that this one happens to be a leader is a sign that there exists within him a bechinas ruach nevuah. Now note, going back for a minute to what we had on the previous page, the Gemara says, in the simplest form, the Gemara says that ein hanevuah shayra ela al chacham gibor v'oshir, that nevuah rests on one who is a chacham, a gibor, or an oshir. Why? Because these people, the fact that Hashem gave him wealth, or the fact that Hashem gave him exceptional chachma, that means that Hashem gave him a ruach acheres, a part of the kavod of Hashem. Wealth is part of the kavod of Hashem. When a king wants to show his glory, he shows off his wealth. The Gemara brings this in many places. When a king wants to show his glory, he shows his strength in being able to smash the enemy, or he shows his wisdom. So part of the glory of Hashem, part of the kavod of Hashem, is his chachma, his gevura, and his ashirus. When Hashem bestows upon an individual an exceptional amount of chachma, or gevura, or ashirus, just as the bracha, the Gemara says that when a person sees a genius, there's a special bracha that he makes, asher cholak mechachmosoi, the fact that Hashem was willing to give off part, an additional part of his own wisdom onto this person. So the fact that this person is a Chacham Gibor and Oshir, the fact that Hashem selected him to make him exceptional, that's what makes him a Keli of Nevuah, a magnet to attract this Nevuah, which is drawn to this Kavod. So too, any person who we find is a leader of Bnei Yisrael, leader meaning leader in Chochmah, leader in Givurah, Ezehu Gibor HaKodesh Es Yitzroi, leader in Ashirus, Ezehu Oshir HaSameach B'chelkai. We're talking about a true leader of the Jews here, a Talmud Chacham, who lives religiously the right way, where he possesses the Chochmah Satayra, he's a Chacham, and he's a Gibor, he's Kodesh Es Yitzroi, he's really religious, and he's an Oshir, he's a Sameach B'chelkai. He doesn't look to get millions of dollars, he's not interested in gifts, he's willing, he goes for his stopkus, he's willing to settle just what he needs to live on. Any person who has that, obviously, he is one upon whom this Ruach Nevuah is Shera. And even nowadays, if the Gemara says that Nevuah doesn't exist in its full form, Rabbi Nizal explains, but the fact is there must be some degree of a Ruach Acheres that made this person a Manhig and not another person. Rabbi Nizal says, "Ach be'emes kol manhig u'manhig shel Yisrael yesh lo bechinas ruach acheres." Therefore, we must say that the fact is that each and every single leader of the Jews must possess this ruach acheres. Ki hamanhig hu bechinas ish asher ruach boi asher yoytzeim v'asher yevi'im. The a leader of the Jews must be one who has this ruach in him, who knows how to lead the Jews out and how to bring them back. We find that when Moshe Rabbeinu requested of Hashem, when Hashem told him that he was about to pass away, Moshe Rabbeinu requested of Hashem, please provide the Jews with an ish asher ruach boy, with a man who, true, he won't be as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, but to some degree he should have this ruach hakodesh, this ruach of kedusha, this ruach of nevuah, to be able to know how to guide the Jewish people. How else is a rabbi or a leader in a position to guide a person? A person comes to him for advice. What should I do? Should I get involved in this business or not? How in the world is a rabbi in a position to advise or to guide unless Hashem gives that Rebbe a small degree of a nevuah, a koyach of kedusha, to be able to see ahead? The Gemara says, "Ezehu chacham haraya es hanoilad." That the definition of chacham is one who can see ahead. Somebody asks him a question: should I undertake this venture? His experience and his knowledge of Torah leads him to be able to understand. Well, based on everything the Torah says about this type of item, such an item would have mazel. The Torah teaches us certain rules. The Torah says that when you see a person whose mazel is going big, try to join up with him in business, because if you become his partner, you'll be able to benefit from his mazel. These are certain rules whereby the Torah reveals to us this nevuah, whereby if you play by the rules of the Torah, you have certain guidance in knowing in advance what's going to happen in certain situations. So Rabbi Nizal says, "Ki hamanig hamoytzi v'meviyas Yisrael bevaday yesh lo bechinas ruach acheres." Any leader of the Jews who leads them, who takes them out and brings them in, meaning he guides them, such a person, bevadai yeshlei bechinas ruach acheres, he certainly possesses this other type of spirit, this unique type of spirit, asher machmazeh naaseh hu daiko manig liYisrael. That's what selected him to be chosen to be a leader of Klal Yisrael. Vizeh ho ruach acheres sheyesh lahamanig hu bechinas ruach hakodesh, ruach nevuah. And this spirit that this manhig possesses is an aspect or a small degree of nevuah, prophecy, or ruach hakodesh. Afal pi she'achshav ein nimtza ruach nevuah ruach hakodesh mamish. Although we acknowledge the fact that nowadays there does not exist nevuah in its full form or ruach hakodesh in its full form, afal pi kein, still bevadai yesh lo bechinas ruach acheres hanimshach min hakedusha ma she'ein nimtza b'shar ha'hamoyim. This leader certainly possesses a certain spirit of kedusha that's not to be found among the common people, which not every person possesses. Shezehu gam kein bechinas ruach hakodesh. That also could be referred to as an aspect of Ruach HaKodesh. Afal pi she'enai Ruach HaKodesh mamish leida asidus, although we don't classify this as Ruach HaKodesh in the full sense of the word, of being able to literally foretell the future in every detail, afal pi kein, still, hu bechinas Ruach HaKodesh, Ruach Nevuah. It is a small degree, it is a degree of Ruach HaKodesh, Ruach Nevuah, V'al-yidei b'chinas ha-ruach ha-kodesh, she-yesh la-hamanik ha-amiti, and through this ruach ha-kodesh, that a true leader of the Jews possesses, shehu b'chinas ruach nevuah, which is an aspect of the spirit of prophecy, al-yidei zeh, through that, kol ha-miskarven elov, all those who are zeichet to come close to such a leader, to bring themselves close to him, nischazek v'nestaken etzlom ha-emuno ha-mitis dikdusha, they are automatically becomes fixed up in them and purified in them their holy faith in Hashem. Ki kol mi shezeichet l'hiskarev l'manig amiti, because any Jew who is zeichet to bring himself close to a true leader of the Yidden, al yidei hiskarvusay elov, through his coming close to this tzaddik, nistakein v'nisbarer etzlei b'chinas hamedame, that Jew's imaginative power becomes purified al yedei b'chinas haruach nevuah shel hamanig. Through this degree of ruach nevuah that the manhig has, we explained before that nevuah represents a purification of imagination, where the imagination is in total purity, where it actually tells the person the truth. It's a real picture. Automatically, any person who's zeichet to become niskarev to a person who has this purity of imagination, that person's emuna, which is also a form of imagination that requires strengthening and purification, will also become purified and fixed up. And by fixing up this imaginative power, this koyach of imagination, that will help bring about a tikkun and a birur for the emuna, for the faith of the person. Al kain, therefore Rabbeinu Zal says, kol hamiskarvim lemanhig amiti, all Yidden who are zeicha to attach themselves to a true leader of the Jews, zeichim leemuna yishara dikdusha, are zeicha to a pure and smooth faith. And this is a very, very important point, because the Gemara says in Makkos, the Gemara says that there were different tzaddikim who came along in Jewish history, and they tried to summarize the Torah, to break down the Torah into its smallest unit. The Gemara says there was one tzaddik who came along, and he broke down the Torah into so many and so many points. The Gemara says David HaMelech came down, and he was able to sum up the Torah in 11 statements, based on a chapter in Tehillim, I believe it's Kapitel Yud Gimel, one of the earlier capitals in Tehillim, where it says, Ashrei Misha Yogur Boy Alecha, a whole, where the Torah, David HaMelech lists 11 qualities, and he says, any person who has this is certainly close to Hashem. The Gemara says, Ad Shebo Chavakuk, until Chavakuk Hanovi came along, Veheemidon Al Achas. And he was able to summarize the Torah in one word. What's the one word? The tzaddik be'emunoso yichya, that a tzaddik who possesses this one item, true emuna in Hashem, true faith in Hashem, yichya, that alone is enough to make him worthy of living in this world, in the next world, all of these items. So we see that if a yid wanted to sum up the whole Torah in one word, kol mitzvoisecho emuna, David HaMelech says that the summarization of all the mitzvahs, what's the purpose of all 613 mitzvahs, with all their intricate complexities and everything, the purpose is that a Jew should be zeichet to a true, simple, pure faith in Hashem. Rabbeinu Zal says here that the key to that is asei l'chorav, that a Jew must be zeichet to have a Rebbe, just as the Mishnah says in Perkei Avos, asei l'chorav v'histalek min hasofek. Sufik means doubt. Doubt means an unclear picture, where it's fuzzy, it's not clear, it's not pure. In other words, where a person has an imagination, he imagines that there is Hashem, but every once in a while there's Sufik that comes into his mind. He's not really positive, and at times his faith is stronger, at times his faith is weaker. How do we see what level of faith a person has? Can we use a barometer to measure this? The answer is most definitely, according to how much a person is serving Hashem, according to how many mitzvahs is doing, according to how much he's davening and learning and doing mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, that's what's a reflection of how much he really believes that there is Hashem. Because which lunatic who saw Hashem sitting right across him on a table, if you saw Hashem right next to you, would you have the guts to do a sin, to do something that's opposite of what Hashem says? If Hashem says that if you have a choice of whether to watch television or learn Torah, You should learn Torah. Which person would have the guts, if he saw Hashem standing in the room at that time, to take the Gemara and close it, put it away, and go do something silly? That kind of thing. Or Chas V'Shalom, do an out-and-out sin. Which person could do that? The fact that we find that we do such things, that we're not completely religious, we're not completely good, we're not tzaddikim, shows that our faith is not complete. It's not 100%. Each one of us, depending on how imperfect we are in religion, it means our faith is imperfect, because the minute a person achieves perfection of faith, where he actually sees Hashem in front of him every second, such a person will definitely be a tzaddik. There's no question. He would never do something that's rebellious against Hashem. So the main thing that a person has to see to it, to work on, to purify, to perfect, is the emunah. The key to emunah, the key to purifying this, is this aseh l'chorav. If a person is zeicha to attach himself to the manhigim amitim, the true leaders in every single generation, he's zeicha to attach himself to one of these true tzaddikim, then in that manner, this person who possesses a degree of this ruach nevuah, which is a concept of a clarity, an imagination that's very, very pure, automatically, by being attached to such a person, he'll find that his emunah receives a birur also. It also becomes clarified and heightened to a tremendous degree. Just as we find in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, for example, you had many people who were learned at that time. Kairach, the Torah says, was a pikeach. He was very smart. Yet with all of his smarts, his faith in Hashem was weak. Hashem said that tzitzis should be made in such and such a way, no more, no less. 7 white strings, 1 string of tchelis. This Kairach started thinking up all kinds of cute things. What if I have a whole beged of tchelis that shouldn't require any tzitzis? What if I have a bayis mole sforim, a house full of sforim, it shouldn't require a mezuzah? Where was his simple faith that simple Simon says, put a mezuzah on your door? Hashem said, put a mezuzah. What are you dreaming up new tricks and all kinds of things? Why didn't he have this emunah pshuta? Because he wasn't attached to the tzaddik hador. He wasn't attached to Moshe Rabbeinu. He could have been smart. He could have learned more Gemara and more Chumash than another person. The fact that he wasn't mekusher to a tzaddik, to a rebbe, therefore his emunah was weaker than one who was attached. That's the difference here.
So selecting a leader or a rabbi, the more important, the high priority would be to seek somebody that has a mula, even though he's not, his wisdom is not dashing or
most definitely
forefront.
Exactly. Just as the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya, in Hilchas Kavod Rabbi, this is a discussion that's brought in Shulchan Aruch. Halacha Lamaisa. There's a term that's used throughout the Torah called Rebbe Movhok. In other words, your most important, the most significant rabbi whom you had in your life. And there are certain laws that apply only to him. In the Gemara and in Shulchan Aruch, there's a whole set of laws where your Rebbe Movhok, for example, if you see him a mile away, you're obligated to stand up. Whereas another rabbi who's not your Rebbe Movhok, if he comes into the room, let's say, you're obligated to stand up. If not, if he's a certain distance, you're not required. And there's a whole set of laws that apply to your Rebbe Movhok. The Shulchan Aruch says, how do we determine Rebbe Movhok? Is it the one who taught you the most Shulchan Aruch? In other words, Halacha Lamaisa. Maybe that's the answer. Is it the one who taught you the most Gemara? Because the Torah tells us that Gemara is a mix of everything. Chumash, Gemara, Halacha, it has everything. Is it the one who taught you Aleph Beis? Because he got you started, and the beginning is the most important item. The final word in the Shulchan Aruch is that the one who's called your Rebbe Movhok is the one who taught you your Emunah in Hashem, your faith, the one who strengthened your faith in Hashem the most. That's the one who's called Rebbe Movhok, because that's the one who made the most significant gift into your religiousness. In other words, that
the semi nevuah that rests on a person with chachma or osher or
gevura.
Does it have to conform with the basic halacha of the halacha Talmud Chacham has no rov shas poskim?
Right.
In order to be considered Talmud Chacham.
Right.
So this semi or partial nevuah that exists in this generation falls upon a leader or a rav. Is there a requirement of wisdom?
Most definitely.
Because
we just showed here that the whole Koyach HaNavua is totally in the Aseres HaDibrois. It's totally in the Torah. In other words, today, nowadays, we don't have a medium of communicating directly with Hashem verbally. What's our medium whereby Hashem prophesizes to us and communicates with us the Torah of Hashem, the Gemara and the Poskim. In other words, the Torah itself. That's the mukar of the Koyach HaNavuah today. So there's no question at all that the more Chachma a person draws, logically, that should mean that the more Nevuah he has and the more Emunah he has. And yet, unfortunately, if you look around, you find that there are many people who are learned, who know a lot of Gemara, and yet they don't believe in Hashem. They don't believe that the Gemara was given by Hashem. You have people, professors in college, who study Gemara, and yet they don't believe, they don't practice the mitzvahs and everything. So we see that knowledge alone is not the key.
So would you say that the semi-wisdom is distorted, like on a person like Jim Jones, who fooled his whole generation, he's not a Jew.
Right.
But he had a charisma, and sort of, he also had some kind of...
Most definitely, or you have Rachmanot, you have among
like
the Jews,
exactly,
or Kairach, or other people who were Pikeach, they were knowledgeable, and yet the Emunah wasn't Bishleimus. So in other words, the fact is, Reishis Chochma, Yiras Hashem. The Gemara says when a Jew is looking for a Rebbe or a Talmud Chacham, what's the most outstanding quality, what's the crown of a Talmud Chacham? His fear of Hashem. Reishis Chochma, the crown, the Roish, that which you... has to be the Yirah Shemayim. So when a person is looking for a Rebbe, if there's a choice between one who knows more and one who's more religious, he has more fear of Hashem, there's no question at all that what's respected more by Hashem is the fear of Hashem, the frumkeit, rather than just the technical wisdom.
So the person himself has to do the selecting.
Most definitely. That's the first line we had here. V'alkein tzrichen l'chapes u'levakesh moed. This is an obligation that falls on each and every one of us. Each and every one of us is responsible with his own eyes to search in an honest way and to select among all the leaders to pick which one he believes has this Ruach Nevuah to the highest extent and to attach himself to him, most definitely. And this is what the Gemara says in Pirkei Avos, Asei Lecho Rav. Each and every one of us, this is not a collective item. Each and every one of us has a responsibility to search for himself on an individual level, to find for himself a rabbi.
Because the problem is that I see growing up in this generation is that most people are brought up through heritage or through schooling or education. This is your Rav. I went to Baba, he's my Rebbe. I went to this school, I went to YU,
right.
He's the Rav. Everybody has their own Rav. But how many people really do the selecting? They really don't, they're just following. If they were brought up in Iran, Khomeini would be the Rav.
The answer is, that for learning, in other words, for scholastic aptitude, for going to a school where every year you have to move up a level and study by different teachers, fine, that's acceptable. You have to have that type of system. But at some point in a person's life where a person begins to stand on his own feet religiously, let's say when he becomes 16 or 18 or 20, in other words, at the age where he begins to understand the concept of frumkeit and coming close to Hashem and being religious, at that point in time, he has to seek out a rabbi for himself, not just one who's going to teach him a page of Gemara, but a rabbi to whom he makes a commitment. In other words, his scar was to attach himself and to be able to actually draw from him on a more regular basis. In other words, in a much more substantial way, a commitment. In other words, the word Rebbe Muvhok, as it's used in Shulchan Aruch, just as you have in the Gemara, you have a concept of Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. The Gemara tells us that each one of the Tanoim had a yeshiva, let's say, and where the people in that yeshiva were committed most to this individual. He was their stairway to heaven. He was their connection to Hashem. He was the one whom they went to for advice, for guidance, for brachos, for blessings. The Gemara tells stories. They had it, they needed a refuah. The Gemara says a person is sick. The Gemara says when a person has somebody sick in his home, what's the first thing he should do? Yelech etzel chocham. He should go to a Talmud chocham, v'yivakesh etzlei, and ask him to be mispalel on his behalf to Hashem. Now the question is, what do? You open up the yellow pages and just look up anybody you find there and call him up? That's not the way to do it. This is part of a person's search in life to seek out for himself an individual whom he feels is the highest one, no question. The one who possesses this Ruach Nevuah to the highest degree and to attach himself. And if that person happens not to live on his block, then he has to look on the next block. And he has to look and look until he finds. This is a mitzvah nitzayah. In other words, this is an obligation. I say l'chorav. And without that, a person cannot guarantee his own emunah, because each and every one of us experiences tests every day, tests in faith. You see how many people, Rahman al-San, how many people who were brought up religious, and at some point in time something happened and they snapped, they lost their faith. So in other words, there's no person, the Gemara says, Al tamen bi'atzmecha ad yayim moischa. We can't be confident in ourselves until a person passes away. He never knows what's going to be. And therefore, the time to secure oneself is not when the catastrophe hits. That's when you go looking. You go looking when you're in a position to look, when you're still sane, and you still realize that there is a Torah, there is Hashem, and you want to believe in Hashem, but you know that you're not perfect. None of us are. So we have to seek out somebody who's higher than us, who's more learned than us, who has a better faith than us, who has a better Biur HaMedama than us, who has more of this power of prophecy than us. And by attaching ourselves to him, we hope that he will help to be Mevara our Emunah, that his Kedusha will have an effect on our Emunah also and strengthen our faith. Just as in studying Jewish history, here again we find kehilos. We're dependent on if a person belonged to a certain kehila, a rabbi of a certain kehila, that kehila was able to be protected at certain times, in terms of mentally protected, where if there was an onslaught of Shema, Rachman al-San, or anything like that, those people were more secure, more stable, because they were committed to a Rebbe who taught them Torah, who taught them faith in Hashem. Okay, we'll just do a little bit more. Rabbi Nazal says, "Avol be'emes tzrichen lechapes ulevakesh ma'oid ma'oid achar manhig amiti kozeh." A person has to search very, very, very much for such a true leader. V'tzorich levakesh ma'oid mehashem yisborach, and a person has to see to it to ask Hashem, to request of Hashem a lot, to be mispawel a lot. Sheyizge lehiskarev lemanig hamiti, that the person should be zeche to attach himself, to become close to a true leader of the Jews. Why? Kidei sheyizge leemona amitis bishleimus, so that the person should be zeche to a true faith 100%, so that the person should be zeichet, that his faith should be 100%. Ki kishem iskarvim chas v'sholom lamanig shel sheker, because when a Jew chas v'sholom attaches himself to a false leader, to one who's not really worthy of being a leader of the Jews, why? He's not really that religious. He himself is not really that much attached to Hashem. What happens is, as a result, those people that attach themselves to such a leader, they become attached to false faiths, to the wrong kind of faith, to superstition, to other nonsense. Because a false leader is a concept of a false prophet, Rachmon al-Etzlan. Bechinas ruach sheker, one who possesses a false type of spirit. Vaidezen, through that, adarabo, just the opposite. Niskalkel hamadama, the imaginative power becomes spoiled. Uboim lemuna iskuzius, and people begin to believe in the wrong thing. They begin to believe in Mother Nature, they begin to believe in Kaychi Vaitzim Yodi, that it's their brains that are getting them, that are earning them their livelihood, and they begin to believe in wrong things, in nonsense. Ki ikar tikon ha'emuno hi'alidei b'chinas ruach nevua shi'esh lahamanig amiti. Because the main tikon ha'emuno of a person is dependent on this ruach ha'nevua that this manig amiti possesses. Sha'idei zeh nizbarer hamedame. This is what purifies the imagination of the people. Va'idei zeh nistakein ha'emuno. And this is what helps their emuna be kitikunoi, to be solid. Avol b'loi b'chinas nevua, but where there is no aspect of nevua, ein hamadame boru mesukon, then the imaginative power is also not clear. It's not kitikuna. It's not good. Va'azai hamadame ma'arev u'mevalvel esodom be'emuna iskuzius, and then the person's imaginative power fools him and mixes him up and causes him to believe in the wrong things. You have people who sit all day conjuring up all kinds of things, thinking that this is going to do this for them, and that the reason why this happened was because of this, and they're not tzricha to understand what the real cause for why certain bad things happen to them are, or what the real cause of their hatzlocha is, that it's the tztaka that they gave, or other things that brought about the hatzlocha. V'zeh b'china, okay. We're going to hold off over here right now. Rabbeinu Zal is going to explain now how this is the whole concept of the snake, the Nochosh HaKadmoni, the snake who convinced Chavo to eat from the Eitz Hadas, etc. This was his whole concept, to be Ma'ariv, to confuse, to be Mevalvel, the Emunah. And this is why the Torah tells us that when the Yidden received the Torah on Har Sinai, one of the things that was achieved by this was Posko Zuhamosam. This filth that the snake injected into the Jewish nation when he caused Adam and Chavo to eat from the Eitz Hadas, that filth became removed from them at Matan Torah. Why? Because at Matan Torah there was this revelation of this Nevuah, this Emunah was at its height. Therefore, this Zuhamor, this impurity, this doubt that the Nochosh injected into Chava, what did he do? He caused her to doubt. He said, Hashem said, if you eat from this tree or you touch this tree, you won't die. And then he pushed her into the tree. You see, you touched the tree, you didn't die. It's all nonsense. He caused her to doubt the word of Hashem. At which point in time did this Zuhamor led up? At Matan Torah, the Gemara says, when the Jews received the Torah, because there was this Hizgalus, this Hispashtus of Emunah, this is what caused the Emunah to get a tikkun also. We have a lot more that we're going to be learning. We have another 6-7 pages on this Torah. We're going to have a lot more clarification on this. Go ahead.
We're starting to talk about Sibur. We use all the things referenced at Sibur, about a full work for everybody in that from the Tzaddik. This is only referring to the Sibur of the Tzaddik in this.
No, in other words, the fact is that this refers to any kibbutz of Jews, any gathering of Jews that gets together for the sake of tefillah, for the sake of a mitzvah. But there's no question at all that according to how high a level, in other words, the kibbutz, depending on what level the kibbutz is on, and depending on how great a tzaddik they're attached to, that's how much more so these things will be effective or not.